So, good morning, folk. Good to see you. Now, my style this morning will be a little different from what you may expect from me, because it's going to be very visual. The main thought is this. God has a plan, God makes a promise, and God has a purpose. And he says, through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Now, that was addressed to God's people there and then, and is being addressed to God's people in the here and now. Through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Now, I am going to co-opt two people. They don't know it yet, but they're going to come to the front, and I'm going to use these two people as a visual illustration of the scripture this morning. So, Mike, I'm afraid I didn't realize you were reading this morning, so you've got a double role. So, Michael, can you come? And Peter, you're smiling, I want you as well. Now, Peter, you go and stand on that side, and you stay on that side. Get further over, far away as you can get. Right. Peter, not Bradford, but Peter the Apostle. Cornelius, a Roman. And these two, and their relationship with each other under the spirit of a living God. There is a phrase that goes like this. I am against my brother. My brother and I are against our cousins. My cousins, brothers, and I are against the rest of the world. This is the recipe for the fact of competition and rivalry and hostility leading to nationalism and racialism and tribalism and clans and exclusive guilds. The emphasis is not just being different from, but being superior to. Peter and Cornelius, turn your backs to each other. Peter, a Jew, and worst of all, a Galilean, a northerner. Cornelius, a Roman and a Gentile. Peter, a fisherman. Cornelius, a Roman soldier and a senior officer within it. Peter, a monotheist. Cornelius, a polytheist. Peter, in Joppa. Cornelius in Caesarea. So, racially, socially, theologically, and geographically, miles apart. Have you got the picture? And they don't want to to meet with each other. And the Spirit of God descends on both of them. Peter, the proud, yet ready to be challenged. Turn. Cornelius, humble and ready to be changed. Turn. Peter had a reputation already in the passage, or just before the passage was read. There's the reference to the healing of Ananias and the resurrection of Dorcas, one healed and one raised from the dead. Peter had experienced the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem. Peter had seen the Holy Spirit at work in Samaria, and Peter was staying in the home of Simon the Tanner. Significance of that, I will illustrate. And Peter had a threefold vision. The sheet containing unclean animals, the reptiles and the birds, and there was a command to kill and eat. So Peter takes three strides forward. One, two, three. Cornelius had a reputation, described by the Jewish community as devout, God-fearing, generous, prayerful, as was his family, and he had a vision of an angel, not a sheet, an instruction to find a man, Simon, called Peter, and who sent two servants and a devout soldier to Joppa, instructing them to bring Peter. Take three steps forward. Cornelius had a reputation. And Cornelius would have been aware of the man called Jesus and his reputation. He would have been aware of this man called Jesus, of his execution, of his apparent resurrection. He was conscious of God being, but ignorant of God's embrace. He could be respected for his desire, but there was a glass wall. Put your hand up. And he could go no further. Peter was perplexed by his vision and was about to have an interpretation in the form of three men, one in Roman uniform, calling upon him, the unclean with an invitation to go to Caesarea, to an unclean area, and call upon an unclean house to meet an unclean Gentile. But for the vision, what might Peter have done? But for the vision. Just imagine it. Being instructed to go and meet him and him to meet him. Cornelius was a respected God-fearer, but not a proselyte. A proselyte was someone who actually became a Jewish person. A true Jew, being being a true Jew would mean he would have to deny, he would be denied, sorry, let me start again. Not being a true Jew, he would have been denied all the benefits of the community of the covenant, and to become a proper Jew, he would be required to circumcision and adherence to the Jewish law, resign his commission, risk a fallout with his family and friends. He was good and he was godly, but he was regarded as godless and an outsider, the glass wall. Peter, already softened by heart by what he had experienced in Jerusalem and what he had happened in Samaria, to the point of staying with a tanner, which was an unclean occupation, and was now about to go one step further against his long-held tradition of keeping the Gentiles at bay and meeting one in an occupied territory. He was being invited to go into the lion's den. He was running a risk by earning the disapproval of his fellow Christian Jews, and especially those from Jerusalem. So Peter takes three steps forward. Cornelius waits patiently for 6 to 7 days. The distance between Caesarea and Joppa being a 3-day journey. He has gathered his family and his friends, and with earnest expectation. When they arrived, he greets Peter by prostrating himself as if Peter was divine. Then Peter told him to stand up. And to say, I also am a man like yourself. So Peter, along with his 6 colleagues, had entered an unclean home, enjoys the unclean hospitality, and preaches to an unclean congregation. The address would have been different from the one he preached in Jerusalem, and different from the one Philip preached in Samaria, except for one thing. The need for belief, repentance, and forgiveness. And during the address, something happened in Jerusalem and has happened in Samaria, and the Holy Spirit was experienced by the whole congregation. And Peter and Cornelius embrace as brothers. Cornelius and his family and friends had become Christians, as in Jerusalem and in Samaria and now in Caesarea. So now, Jewish Christians, Samaritan Christians and Gentile Christians were brothers in Christ, a new people, a new race, a new society, and no need for circumcision, no need for the compliance of the Jewish law, and no need to relinquish his commission. Peter and Cornelius had become brothers. Understood? But it was not just about the reconciliation of two men. The whole story is much bigger than that, because what the story was about was that the Holy Spirit had taken Jews and made them Christians, taken Samaritans and made them Christians, and surprise, surprise, taken Gentiles and made them Christians, and produced one new race of people. So you can shake hands and go back to your place. So this is not just a reconciliation of two very different people, but the beginning of a transformation in which the dividing wall of hostility had been shattered, resulting in a unity that would be a blessing to the whole world across the geography and through all time and till here and now. The believing, the belonging, and the behaving and the becoming, which is illustrated in baptism and communion and membership. So God's plan and purpose and promise is being continued. Through you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Only the you is addressed to the Christian church, and that is us in the here and now. So the mantra now reads as follows: I am for my brother, and my brother and I are for our cousins, and my cousins and my brother and I are for the rest of the world. That is our calling, that is our duty, and that is our destiny. And absolutely nothing can prevent this happening. Even if some of us dig our heels in and initially say no three times, as in the case of Peter, then God will find somebody else who says yes. And Peter did say yes, and he went. There's a little parable that Jesus told, and it was of two sons to whom the father says, go and work in my vineyard. And one son says yes, but doesn't go. The other son says no, but does go. Of which son are we? It's easy to say yes and then not do it. It's better to say no and yet still do it. And we express our acceptance by our willingness for baptism, for communion, and for membership. There I rest.